And good afternoon. It is Tuesday, October the 30th, 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the NOW program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today, and we'd like to thank Johnny Counterfeit for coming on in hour number one. That was a lot of fun, so we thank him for doing that. It's always good to laugh a little bit in these interesting times. Now, there are some things we need to remind you of. Next Tuesday, WWGH Radio will be broadcasting live on election night, Tuesday, November the 6th, starting at 7:10 p.m. Now, we will be on the air uninterrupted starting at 7:10 until all the votes are counted, until we know the winners in all the local races, and until we have elected the 70th governor of the state of Ohio. So we'll start at 7:10. Now, I will be in studio with Charlie Evers and Sean Kraft. Linda Sims will be at the Board of Elections, and Terry Tackett will be at Democratic and Republican headquarters. So that's election night this coming Tuesday, a week from today, November the 6th, 7:10, until all the votes are counted. We will be on the air. And also, don't forget, we had some technical difficulties yesterday, but we did tape our interview with Sheriff Bailey, and that interview will air next hour, so stay tuned for that. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to be joined by Marion County Prosecutor Ray Grogan. We had his challenger, Jeff Ratliff, on last Thursday. Ray will be on tomorrow for 2 hours, 12:10 until 2, and then on Thursday, we have the progressive professor, Dr. Ronald Feynman, on from 1:10 until 2 p.m. to talk about everything going on nationally as far as the election goes. And it's a pleasure to be joined this hour, 7 days before the election, by the mayor of the city of Marion, Scott Schertzer. Mayor Schertzer, how are you?
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Scott. I understand we might be talking about elections.
Possibly.
Okay, possibly. Good.
Yeah, it's that time of year. Do you like this time of year? Do you like election time?
Well, you know what? When you're in public policy and you're in politics like I am, you better at least be able to tolerate it, if not like it, or you should get out. So I do not mind it. It's a part of being in office. You have to run for that office. That's the political side. And then the public policy side is obviously when you're elected to office. And again, that's what a lot of people don't understand. They are two different things, running for office and being in office. And sometimes that's a challenge for candidates to understand when they come into office. They really want to carry in the politics from running for office into their office. And at the local level, I would strongly discourage you from doing that.
Running for office, most of us have not done this. What's it like to run a campaign?
Well, it depends on what level we're talking, Scott. Of course, there is the federal level, there's the state level, and then there's the local level. I've had a little bit of experience at all three levels, but have only myself personally run at the local level. So it really is, there are a lot of overlaps in between the three levels of government. And then there are some dramatic differences between them as well.
Local level, what's it like to run for office?
Local level, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with name identification and likability. And again, that's not to say at the state level and the federal level, those aren't important, but I think it's more important at the local level. Because here at the local level, you know, you eat, you shop, you go to ball games right alongside the constituency that you often are hoping and seeking to represent. And that's dramatically different than the state level. You know, the governor is not going to come and stand on the sidelines of a Harding High School football game like the mayor of Marion is, nor is the president of the United States. And when you do that at the local level, you know, you're not just there to watch the game, because inevitably, and believe me, I do not mind, somebody will come up and say, I've just got one question for you. And I I'm grateful that the public here in Marion feels comfortable enough with me to come up and ask me those questions. I've been shopping in a grocery store, going down the aisle, and somebody gives you a strange look and like, oh, that's the mayor. Hey, I just got one question for you. And you know what? That's the difference between local government and state and national. So that's just one of the differences when you are a locally elected official, whether it's county, city, township, school board. Those are all considered local elected officials. And of course, when you run for those offices, we run in very many ways similarly to what state electeds and national electeds do. It's just not as on a grand scale. Yes, we run radio ads, newspaper ads. We do interviews on the local radio stations, yard signs, billboards. You don't see a lot of TV here in Marion County, but for the local races in the Columbus metropolitan area, you'll see the TV commercials for city council persons or county commissioners in Franklin County. So there is another similarity in when we run for office. I think probably that there is a lot more door-to-door knocking being done. That one-on-one voter contact in a local election and in a county like ours is more important. And it is done more frequently than a metropolitan county or at a state or, again, national elective office.
We hear a lot now about endorsements, even on the local level. And the interview that we'll play next hour with Sheriff Bailey, one of the things we talked about was his endorsement of Ray Grogan for prosecutor. When it comes to endorsements, how do you make your choices, or do you even like to do them?
Well, I that's interesting because that's something that's been pondered and discussed a lot lately. Normally, the endorsements tend to fall along what you would call a party line. The Democrats are always looking for a Republican to endorse them, and then they tend to make a big deal out of it, and vice versa. Republicans are looking for a Democrat to endorse them and try and make a big deal of it. I don't know when it comes right down to it, when you walk in the voting booth, even though we don't walk into voting booths anymore, but I'll use that terminology. I don't know how much of a difference that really makes. Does it make a difference to some? Well, sure it does. But I don't know that it's enough to swing an election, especially at the local level. It may have more sway in a statewide race versus a federal race. But a local race, we tend to know our candidates pretty well. You know, you went to high school with Johnny. You know, you played ball with them. Your kids go to school. You're in the same clubs and organizations. So we tend to know our local elected officials on a much more personal level. And when an endorsement comes out like that, I'm just not sure that it means as much as it would in, say, a statewide gubernatorial race. And again, the presidential elections, they're so big and broad across the country, I don't think it has as much impact as it does at the state level. So, and it's just my opinion.
Do you like to endorse people?
You know, I tend to endorse along party lines. Being an elected Democrat, I tend to stay within those guidelines. I've often asked myself, what would happen someday if, say, my best friend, we grew up together, we vacationed together, and you did all the things that best friends do your entire lives, and he's all of a sudden running for office on the other side of the political aisle, what would I do? And I think in a rare circumstance like that, it would be okay for a D to endorse an R or an R to endorse a D, or if it were a family member. I think there are unusual circumstances where it is okay to cross a party line and endorse, but it doesn't often happen, and usually you try and stay within your own political aisles.
It's interesting because Sheriff Bailey's endorsement of Ray Grogan, I think, made the front page of the Star because he was a Democrat endorsing a Republican. When you read that, did it mean anything to you?
No. No, it didn't. Really, in fact, when I saw that, it made me think of a slow news day in the Marion Star, and they had to find something to put on the front page above the fold. You know, we can have an entire show on why it is the Marion Star chooses to put certain stories front page above the fold. Oftentimes you'll read it and you're like, this isn't newsworthy. And there again, I think we get into what we often hear the president say about fake news. I don't necessarily buy into the fake news concept. What I buy into is the embellishment of the news, a little yellow journalism going on. And there's where that I have an issue, is what is truly newsworthy. But I don't make those decisions, excuse me, for the Marion Star or any other news outlet. I think we've really gotten away from what true news really is. It's such a competitive market now that it's 24/7. It wasn't 24/7 when I was growing up in the 70s and in the early 80s in high school. But now it is a 24/7 competition to get the scoop and to present that news in a way that people are going to talk about it. And that concerns me a great deal. It concerns me a great deal when the president refers to, you know, the news media as, you know, public enemy number one. You know, look, just because you don't agree with the news doesn't mean they're public enemy number one. We thought so much of the freedom of press that we made it put it in our Bill of Rights. And I think people forget about what the Bill of Rights are really about and why we have them. Yes, you got to go back 242 years to the American Revolution and the creation of our country, but there's a reason that the freedom of the press is a part of the Bill of Rights.
You know, it's interesting that the media is getting bashed a lot these days, and that's why, honestly, here we try to do everything live and never edit. So mm-hmm. It is what people say.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good at the local level. I don't think there's a lot of yellow journalism at the local level. Live makes it more difficult. When I question the Bailey endorsement on the front page above the fold, it's not that it's not newsworthy. I just don't know that it rises to the level of front page above the fold. And when you say front page above the fold, there are not a lot of people that understand what that means anymore. That used to be the marquee place to be in the newspaper. You wanted to be front page above the fold. But nevertheless, the editors or whomever makes the decision, and there's another issue. We don't have anybody locally making the decision on what goes on the front page of the Marion Star anymore. They're not sitting here in an office in downtown Marion at the Marion Star making that decision. Somebody makes it somewhere else, and that somebody generally does not really know our community very well. Even our news reporters for the Marion Star, they're not from here and they don't live here. So how do you report on a community when you're not from here and you don't live here? You got to be part of the community that you're reporting on to truly understand what it means, to have a historical perspective of where a news story comes from, you know, not just to embellish the story based on an outsider's perspective.
When you look at this election season locally, what have you made of it? How would you describe it?
Well, I don't know that this election cycle is much different than anything else that we've ever experienced before. I mean, I think the candidates are all out doing all the right things. They're trying to one-on-one touch as many voters as they can, knock on as many doors. Again, door knocking at local elections is vitally important. They've got their yard signs up, they're doing the radio, they're doing the newspaper, et cetera, et cetera. Social media is a little different today than it was when I first started out on city council in 1999, running for my first office on council. That wasn't an issue. I'm interested to see how much influence social media actually has on the outcome of an election at the local level. We have since learned that it probably had more of an impact in 2016 than probably what it should have. I think the country and the social media users are still trying to figure out what that impact was. I think it's easier to put erroneous stories on social media than it is in the newspaper. Thank heavens for that. But there again, the newspapers, the radios, and the TV stations, they're all now competing with that social media. So do they sensationalize more and embellish more than what they used to because they feel as if they're competing with an outlet called social media?
Before we move to the governor's race, because I think that's very interesting, there are two issues locally that I think, as we head into the election, people might have some concern about. One is the Board of Elections. Now, again, that started with Columbus Media, and then it moved. I think there has been a couple stories in the Star. We had Steve Chafin on last week and Jeff Ratliff, Ray Grogan tomorrow. As you see this idea that maybe the voting machines aren't up to snuff, which is what I think the claim has been, what is your take on that? Do you know something more than we know?
Well, first of all, I think it is very proper and part of their protocol to do that testing when they did it. And if there is an issue with the voting machines, you want to find it out in the testing phase, which is what they did. And I have the total faith and confidence of the Board of Elections, not only the board members, but the employees, that they have worked out those bugs in the Board of Elections. And that's why they do the testing a week to 10 days before an election. And so if they do have them worked out, and you should go and vote because voting is very important. It's probably more important today than ever before. I love politicians because they'll all tell you that this is the most important election of your lifetime. Ladies and gentlemen, every election is important because every election has consequences. They have consequences on who wins and who loses, what levies pass and what levies fail. You know, do your property taxes go up or do they stay the same? You know, we have some issues on the ballot here locally that will cause your property taxes to increase, especially if you live in a particular school district and all three of the property levies pass. Your property taxes are going to go up significantly, and you need to be an educated and informed voter to understand. I was talking to a group of folks out at the YMCA. It's where I work out, so I'll stop out front. Folks are out there having coffee, and this group was saying, you know, I support all three of those. I'm just not sure I can afford all three of them. So those voters will make a conscious decision to vote for one or two, but that means they will vote against one or two. And if that voter is making that conscious decision that way, I think it means many voters are, but we don't know which ones they're going to vote for or against, and that could cause all of them to fail, unfortunately. But that's why we have elections, because we get to decide in this case whether our property taxes go up or stay the same based on what levies are on the ballot this year.
The other local question has to deal with the clerk of courts.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Cagle, who had been there for a while,
mm-hmm.
has now resigned. Before she resigned, the Democratic committee, Kelly Carr and yourself had signed the letter asking for an audit of her office. Where does that stand now, and why did that come about?
Well, the letter that I signed, to my knowledge, we have received no response to it. I know the current county prosecutor, I believe, indicated that he sent something to the Attorney General's office. Not sure that I've seen or read a response from the Ohio Attorney General in regard to our county prosecutor's question on that. Look, I just look at it this way. That particular office holder has been in office for almost two decades, and I have long heard of issues and problems in that office. Didn't realize the magnitude of those issues and problems until I got elected mayor. And if we don't understand what the problem is, how are you going to fix it? Obviously, there is a problem when there is such a huge backlog. When a judge requests a case on a file on a case, and it takes 7 months for them to get it, or the background check issue, or I know somebody who does appraisals through the foreclosure process, they're now getting paid from 2006. Okay, so they did the work in 2006 and they just got paid for that job. You know, that's 12 years. That's quite a backlog. So that tells me the problems have been going on for a long time. The reason for the investigation and the audit is to find out what the problem is and how do we fix it. The Republican Party, I believe tonight, is getting ready to appoint the successor to that office. And so there's going to be a learning curve for whoever comes in there. Now, you can read the constitutional responsibilities of the clerk of court. That's easy to do. Anybody can do it. But when you roll up your sleeves and get in there and actually have to do the work and have to get rid of the backlog that you have, you better have a plan in place. And you better have the means and the resources to implement that plan. We can no longer enable a feckless clerk of courts in that office because it is too detrimental to this county.
Aside from the request for an audit, which apparently nothing has been done at this point, what could be done to stop this from happening or continuing to happen?
Well, your listeners really control because it's the voter who decides who is in that office. Yes, the Republican Party will appoint somebody to fulfill the remainder of the term, but in 2020 there will be an election for that office. So there will arguably be candidates on both sides of the political aisle and maybe an independent or a third party. So the voters get to decide who will move forward in the leadership of that office. But until whoever gets appointed tonight or sometime this week, they better have a plan in place. Because we're going to continue with the same problems.
The sheriff said yesterday, the interview which will play after this interview, that he felt that it might have been political, the request for an audit, because the Republicans are going to appoint the person. The request came from the Democratic committee, and that people were aware there were problems going on. He was aware there were problems going on, and it's close to an election. Was there any politics at play in this?
Well, then I would ask this question. If requesting an audit were political and you said that the sheriff knew that there were problems, why didn't he do something?
I think you said, in paraphrasing from what I remember yesterday, that when he realized there was a problem, that's when he brought it to the attention of the office.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So my reasoning for the investigation and the audit is to find out what the problem is. You got to know the problem before you can correct the problem. And I'm not sure, as an elected official in the city who has no oversight over that office other than I'm a voter like you and like your listeners, I'm not sure how the problem is going to be rectified.
We'll see.
We indeed will.
We will see as time goes on. Want to go to the governor's race. We're going to elect the 70th governor of Ohio in 1 week. We have the Republican Mike DeWine, the Democrat Rich Cordray. Why do you think that race is still so close, 7 days out?
Well, I think it's very telling of what's going on in this nation. We are unfortunately a very divided nation. I think that the top elected official in this country has not brought the country together, as most presidents do after a presidential election. They call for unity, they call and they try and bring both sides together. You work with the other side, you work with your side, you work for the greater good of those that you represent. And I don't believe that that has happened. Of course, I don't blame it totally on the current president. But he has facilitated and fostered this divide in our country. The divide was starting beforehand. I think that we have forgotten how to compromise. I think we have forgotten to have a civil discourse in our discussion on public policy and politics. It's us versus them. It's you versus me. And if you don't agree with me, then, you know, I hate you now. And that's not the way I was raised. That's not the way I want to see our country go. Scott, you and I don't agree on everything, but I don't think any less of you just because you don't think my way is the right way. I just think you're wrong. And that's okay, you know, and vice versa. So I don't agree with everybody in my own political party. I don't agree with everybody in my own family, but I don't hate them and I don't disparage them and talk down to them. And I just think that we have really gotten away from civility in this country.
But we've come to that. As you say, we can't disagree anymore. If we disagree, we can't talk. We're going to keep our distance from each other. How do you fix it?
Well, I'm an elected official, and I'm going to do my part. I'm still going to talk to those who disagree with me. Look, I met with a city councilman this morning, a Republican, by the way, and we talked over three issues that were before city council, and we talked about how we move those pieces of legislation forward together as Democrats and Republicans for the greater good of this community, and I used that term with that person, and they agreed, and we were able to look at these ordinances and say, we can move these forward for the greater good of Marion. I don't agree with all his suggestions. He didn't agree with all mine, but we got to the point where we could move the legislation forward, and that's what we have to do in the statewide politics and in national politics. And I think we do a much better job of it at the local level than they do in the other two levels of government. You know, I hope that this isn't a continuing trend in this country. It might be for a while, but I think that's what true leadership does, is it brings people together.
The other statewide issue that's getting a lot of attention this election is issue one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have very strong feelings on that. As I understand it, the reading is that the first two times you'd be arrested for a drug crime, it would not be a felony. You would still be charged, but you would not get a felony. Rich Cordray, that's one of the big contrasts between the candidates. Rich Cordray is yes on issue one. Mike DeWine, no. What's your feeling on it?
Well, first of all, I would say they're only one man, one vote. They each have one vote on that issue. It will be decided by the voters of the state of Ohio. My personal issue, I am the president of the Ohio Municipal League this year, representing city and village governments across the state of Ohio. And as the president, our executive board met about, a month and a half ago. And we decided to not support it. And a couple of the reasons, which I wholeheartedly agree with, is this ballot language was written by an outsider, not an Ohioan. This is coming to us from somewhere else. I don't like that. I don't like the fact that the state legislature could have dealt with this issue and has chosen not to for whatever reason. I think it should be dealt with in the state legislature. And I also don't like the fact that it is a constitutional amendment to the Ohio Constitution. So those are a couple of reasons that I'm opposed to it. I'm not opposed to some of the issues in there, but I don't believe for those reasons that that's why I'm not supporting it.
Rich Cordray, why is he the right guy for Ohio?
Well, look, Scott, that you know as well as I do, that's an objective opinion. And so I've known Rich for many years. I've known Mike DeWine for a few years as well. I think they both mean well. I just think that Rich Cordray brings a refreshing change to what we've seen in Ohio politics. For 24 of 28 years, one party has controlled the state of Ohio. And when that happens, things get stagnant. And I think that is a prime reason that we need to get Rich Cordray in there. It's time to mix it up. It's time to try something different. I love all these negative campaign ads, and which, by the way, the most negative campaign ads are put on the air by what we refer to as dark money. You don't know where the money comes from. I just think that Rich is the path that we need to go down at this point in time. That's one of the reasons I'm supporting him. And because we've had 24 of 28 years of rule of one party, that's not the way our democracy was designed to be. There are no checks and balances in Columbus when one party rules. And we need to institute, as voters, those checks and balances as our founding fathers had intended them to be, whether it's the legislative branch or the executive branch in this case, and the judicial branch. They're all controlled by one party. So if you don't like something that's going on in this state right now, you can't blame the Democrats because they're not in power anywhere. So let's change it up. Let's get the checks and balances back in place. And let's, as voters, force our elected officials to work together for the greater good of the state of Ohio.
I think the last time we had a chance to speak was back in the spring sometime. And at that point, you had not decided whether you wanted to run for mayor again or not. If I read the paper right, since then you have decided that next year you will run again. Why'd you make that decision?
Well, I don't know that the decision was really made at that particular time. When you talked about those issues, when we talked about them a while back, you know, you played whatever I said three or four years ago.
I got no tape. Unless you want to hear the sheriff, we can listen to that.
I just think that we have a different interpretation of what I have, my intentions are. Look, I like my job. In fact, there are times that I love my job. But like with any job, your job or anybody out there listening, there are those days in everybody's job where you scratch your head and just say, what the heck is going on? But I have more good days than bad days, far more good days. And when I can get out of bed every morning and still look forward to going into the job that I currently hold, I would like to continue that. I told somebody, pet peeve of the mayor. Okay, here you go. This is breaking news, Scott. Pet peeve of the mayor is when an elected official says, my office. Okay, that's a pet peeve for me because it's not my office. It's the people's office. I am just fortunate enough to hold that office for a very short time in our history, and hopefully I'm doing the right job and making the right decisions and moving Marion forward in this case. And if the voters think I'm doing a good job, then they'll send me back to office next year. If they don't think I'm doing a good job, then they won't send me back. And that's the way elective politics works, and I fully understand that. Will I be disappointed? Absolutely. Will I be jubilant if I win? You bet I will. But it is not my office. It's your listener's office and everybody else that lives in the city of Marion. And the same goes for any county office, state office, or federal office. They're not ours. They're yours. And sometimes as voters and sometimes as elected officials, we forget that. And that's why it's a pet peeve of mine.
A lot of people, I think you brought it up in that last interview we did at the League of Women Voters every year. They say, somebody asks you, are you going to complete your term if you get reelected? And you gave an honest answer to that every time it's been asked. Is there any circumstance that you would not finish the last year you have on this term out as mayor?
Well, look, another thing that I have disdain for elected officials about is arrogance and presumptuousness. I have every intentions as we sit here today to finish this term. I have every intentions of running for office next year. And God willing and the voters permit being elected in November of next year. But of course, there are always circumstances. There are health circumstances. I don't have health issues, but you never know. There are family issues. I don't have any family issues, but to sit here and say there are no, there is nothing that would prevent me from finishing this term, I can't answer that. I'm not clairvoyant. I can't see the future. But as we sit here today, I have every intentions of finishing again this term, and if fortunate enough to be permitted by the voters, the next term as well.
I think there has been an assumption made by people because there has not been a Democrat in the governor's position in 8 years that if you were offered a position there, if Rich Cordray is elected, and again, those are all hypotheticals, that maybe that would be something you would entertain.
Well, any elected official or politician should stay away from hypothetical situations. You know, Ted Strickland, who I knew far better than Rich Cordray at the time. I've known Ted for, since the early 1990s. But, you know, he was governor for 4 years and never offered a job, and I never expected him to. I don't expect anybody to offer me a job. What I expect is to go out and earn that job. And that's what I've done in the last two cycles in running for mayor, is I've earned the job. I've earned the trust and the confidence and the vote from the voters to keep me and to send me to this office. And that's what I will continue to do.
That's an honest answer, and I appreciate that. You have not run a campaign since 2016, when a lot of things changed on how people run campaigns. Mm-hmm. Do you foresee the next campaign being any different?
Well, I think anybody running for office since 2016 really needs to be on their toes, and you really need to pay attention, and you keep your finger on the pulse of the community, the state, the county, the nation, whatever the case may be. You really have to be in tuned and pay attention to what's going on. What are the voters saying? Because there is such a divide among our voters, you have to pay attention to the issues out there. Sometimes it's a gut feeling. Sometimes it's a national poll or a state poll that gives you insight into what the voters are thinking. If the election this year goes the way that I hope it will, that may fly in the face of what happened in 2016. The voters, some of them will have swung the other way, so to speak, if and when Rich Cordray gets elected on November the 6th, 1 week from today. So you really have to stay on top of things. So, yes, I do think that things will be different next year. But again, it's still a municipal election, and there are always those differences, as we talked about at the top of the show. But things evolve, and things are evolving faster in that regard than ever before. For decades, candidates pretty much campaign the same way. I still think knocking on doors next year and this year at a local election is vitally important to the success of the candidate. It doesn't mean you're going to win, but I believe you increase your chances of winning if you knock on doors and get out and talk to folks. And they like to feel comfortable with you, and they like to know you, and they like to know they can talk to you. Again, another example. I remember I was at the YMCA. I'm flat on my back doing sit-ups, right? And I look up above me, and there is this sweet older lady standing over my head. And she says, "Excuse me, I just have one question for you." I love it that she felt comfortable enough to do that to me. That means a lot to me, and I hope it meant something with her, if nothing else, that she felt comfortable enough to approach me in a very vulnerable position.
Before you became mayor, city councilman, also a teacher in Marion County, even if you run next time and are elected, you're still not going to be at retirement age. What would you like to do? Would you ever want to go back to teaching? Would you like to run for something bigger?
Yeah, the question I get most there is, would I ever go back into education? And that's really an easy answer for me. I will have been out for 12 years. My wife is a teacher. My brother's a teacher here locally, both at Grant Middle School. And I see how much teaching and education has changed and evolved, not necessarily in a positive way, in my opinion, in this state of Ohio. I don't know that I could go back into the classroom. I left the classroom. I was about, I think, 40, and I would be going back in at 53. That is a big generational difference. Plus, I would really be behind the curve in having to get caught up to speed on the new educational techniques that have been implemented over the past 12 years. So, no, I really don't. I can safely say I don't believe I would go back into the classroom. What would I do then? Well, sometimes, you know, you cross those bridges when you get to them. You have to prepare for those bridges. You have to prepare for all those things in life. And I hope what I have done is to prepare myself for whatever is the next chapter in my life.
Would you like it to be political?
You know, I've been in politics since before I got out of college. I told somebody recently at a Democratic function that I've been working in politics for 28 years. So 28 years is a long time. I feel like I know that better than I know just about anything else as far as wanting to do something for a living. So I can see, no matter what I do, being in that world somehow. Now, it might not be an elected official. It might be a policymaker. It might be, who knows? But it would be something in the realm of politics and public policy.
I've been covering local elections for a while now in Marion, and one thing I do notice is in these midterm years and presidential years that the local elections, which the ones we care about, there is a trickle down. When Donald Trump won Ohio, a lot of people got into office who were multiple time runners for those offices by about the same margin that he won the state. So, coming Tuesday, do you think that if Rich Cordray is elected governor, that there would be a trickle down for the Democratic side, or is Marion, even though you're a Democrat, a Republican place where it's hard to win?
No, I've always considered my hometown and my home county to be what we call purple. Okay, we're not real red, we're not real blue. Our voters are smart enough, again, if they know you, if they like you, if they think you're going to do a good job, they'll vote for you whether you're a Democrat or a Republican in this county. And that's a good place to be. You know as well as I do that there are some counties that getting elected as a Democrat is almost never going to happen, or not very often. And then there are some counties where it's all blue and mostly Democrat. I think we're different in that regard. And that's what I like about my home county, is we're more open-minded to as voters to the elected officials. You talk about the trickle down. I don't think you're going to see the same kind of trickle down in that aspect, because I think the governor's race is going to be much closer than people think. I don't think it's going to be decided by, you know, 5 points or 10 points. I think it's going to be more like 1, 2, or 3 points that this gubernatorial election will be decided. However, with that being said, I think Sherrod Brown wins in a landslide. And I think that also helps down ticket candidates as well on the Democratic side. So, with all of that being said, in that very quick thumbnail analysis, I think we've got some local elections this year that will be very close, maybe on the same lines of closeness as the gubernatorial election. Because again, I know everybody running. They're all good people. I just happen to think some of them are a little bit better than the other person for a number of reasons. Maybe I worked with them more. Maybe I've known them longer. But yeah, I think there could be some very close elections this year.
An interesting race, and not my opinion, just what I've been reading, seems safe that Jim Jordan, unless something happens, will win his seat again. Not for sure, but who knows. But the Boulderson-O'Connor race, which does go into Marion County.
Yes, it does.
What do you make of that?
Well, look, I've gotten to know Danny pretty well over the past few months. I have some friends that do a lot of his consulting on his campaign, known some of them for 8 to 10 years. I like Danny's chances. I love watching that race. And here's what I think I like most about it. I like the fact that people running for office this year probably are not going to be like me. You know, Danny O'Connor, just the last name O'Connor, he's got very deep Irish roots, and I think I like that. Aftab Preval down in Cincinnati, he's nothing like me, but he's got an opportunity to win against Steve Chabot down there in Cincinnati. And I think that's good for the country when we elect people that aren't exactly like us. I don't want a cookie cutter of me in every political office above me, because I don't think that progresses and moves our country forward and unites our country. Danny's race, it's going to be one of those close ones. It's going to be decided by a point or two, or maybe less than a point. Almost a mandatory, well, it was a mandatory recount in the last election. We could be looking at that again. But I have to give Danny just a slight edge in that, which I think is just enough for what he needs to win that seat.
It's also my understanding that if the Republicans keep the House, that Jim Jordan possibly could be Speaker. Do you see any chance of that happening?
Well, sure, there's a chance of it.
Much of a chance.
It's national politics. It is national Anything's politics.
Yeah, we learned that.
So, you know, the Janet Garrett-Jim Jordan race, here's what I find interesting about that race. I think that'll be the closest race that Jim Jordan has ever had in his entire congressional candidacy for that particular office. She has really come on strong here lately. I think it's gone from a solid R to a lean R to, you know, they have those categories they put them in. It looks like it could be trending her way, but is that enough for Janet to win? Again, we'll all have to wait until November the 6th after the polls close and the votes are counted. But she's raised more money than any candidate. She has more of a presence than any congressional candidate on the Democratic side that I've seen in the 4th Congressional. And, you know, they're both running TV ads. When was the last time that Jim Jordan had to run a TV ad? That tells you something about how concerned he is about Janet Garrett campaign against him.
Would it surprise you if she won?
No.
Not at all. So
nothing,
it's that close.
Nothing surprises me in politics,
Scott.
Nothing anymore. Nothing. After 2016, nothing surprises me.
You spent that night with us. That was an interesting night, that's to be sure.
Yeah, we couldn't even figure out what was going on.
We thought
we knew what was happening in Florida, and we were totally wrong.
Yeah, went home and watched television and watched the whole thing change. Before we let you go, in Marion here, is there a big issue right now? I'm sure there are several, but is there something that the listening audience would be curious to know about?
Well, look, I can tell you this as your mayor, that the city of Marion is doing better this year than it was last year. And as long as we can continue on that track, we're going to be making progress. We're tackling the problems. We don't run away from our problems. You know what our problems are. Your listeners know what the problems are. And we're taking them head on. We're grabbing the bull by the horn, and we're moving forward. We need to quit admiring failure. And good enough isn't good enough.
Where did we get that attitude?
I don't know, but I'm aiming to change it with your help.
Well, we'll go for it.
Okay.
We'll go for it. Mayor, thank you.
It's always a
pleasure to have you in. The interview that we taped yesterday with Sheriff Bailey coming up in 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere.